This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the shiny new official review of the Microsoft Surface Go. This is, of course, a new Surface, the cheapest one yet at $400, selling you the age-old dream that you can have it all. But can you truly have one device that acts as both a laptop and a tablet? The Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnist David Pierce joins us with some definitive truths after these tech headlines. Several big tech companies, including Apple and YouTube, removed links to content from far-right website InfoWars, deepening the debate over how internet platforms should handle divisive or offensive content. The journal notes the marking of a rare prominent move for Apple and the issue of how to remove hateful messages from platforms without infringing on free speech. Tech giants are now embracing the unthinkable: privacy legislation. This effort by tech coalitions like the Information Technology Industry Council, which reps Facebook, Amazon, Alphabet, and Salesforce.com, comes after the industry has fended off federal action for years. And the journal says legislation would likely hand much of the work of writing detailed privacy rules to the Federal Trade Commission. In a statement, Facebook, for one, said it will work to ensure, quote, people are in control of their information and promotes responsible innovation, end quote. Speaking of Facebook, they want your financial data. It has asked large U.S. banks to share detailed financial info about their customers, like card transactions and account balances. Increasingly inching toward a platform where people buy and sell things, Facebook wants to do more than help connect with friends. The company over the past year asked J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup to talk potential offerings it could host for bank customers on Facebook Messenger. Read more at WSJ.com. Coming up, a review of Microsoft's new device, the Surface Go, the cheapest Surface yet, that tries to be both a laptop and a tablet. But can it be done? This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So Microsoft is trying to be a perfect handheld tablet and a powerhouse laptop via its new device, the Surface Go. Here to walk us through whether Microsoft's bold attempt comes through is personal tech columnist David Pierce. Hey, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. So here's what I like. Let's talk about the selling points first. It's obviously it's portable, it's small, but David, it looks really cool.
Yes. No, and that's the thing. This is one of the funniest things about writing about this was portable, small, and cool looking are not only very hard to come by in a $400 or $500 laptop,
right,
but also really important. We're at this place in technology where most gadgets are good. Right, that they're all fast enough, they all last all day,
do their job,
they all run Windows, and so it's about these other things. You want to have something that works in all the places that you do and is, you know, part of your personality, and it's this kind of thing that it's really meaningful to have a $400 Windows machine that looks good. That doesn't happen often. So I'm with you, I was very excited about that.
Yeah. So now we got that out of the way. This is obviously the big attempt at a laptop and a tablet. Not easily done. What do you think about Microsoft's attempt at least trying to do this?
Yeah, it's an interesting space right now because Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, and really everybody else has this same idea that what if we can make one device that works kind of all the ways that a device would work? So you have a keyboard, you have pen input, you have touch, you should be able to use it on a desk or carry it with you. It works as a desktop or on a plane. And it sounds wonderful. I mean, it seems sort of obvious that that's what this next phase of devices should be. But it has proven really hard, just because when people think of their work computer, they think of, you know, needing 10-year-old software that no normal computer should even support anymore.
Right.
But some people need it. And so you run into this sort of impossible set of trade-offs where you can make something really incredibly simple to use, but that almost always comes at the expense of sort of the power and this like long tail of functionality that people need with these 10-year-old things. Or you can have something that's really small, but probably won't have long enough battery unless you use old chips, which means it won't be very fast. So it's constantly you're trying to sort of triangulate all of these warring things. And I think eventually, someday, we'll have great batteries and great chips and really great software, and all of these things will work. And I think that these things are slowly getting better in that direction. But after using the Surface Go, it is very clear that we are not there yet.
All right. Well, let's talk about what did work. In terms of, you know, we talked about the portability. Now, you write how this actually fit in the pocket of your cargo shorts.
I mean, I may have bigger cargo pockets than your average, but yeah, it really does.
Suffice it to say, it's small.
One of the demos that Microsoft did, which I thought was very impressive, was there was a spokeswoman who was there, and she sat down on the couch as we were talking and like reached over and just picked up her clutch and just sort of absentmindedly while we were talking, and then opened it up and pulled out the Surface Go. And I was just like, oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a compelling demo. I've been carrying it around for a couple of weeks in my backpack, and it's like it's not even there. I'm so used to these monstrously heavy laptops that having something that I wouldn't mind having with me all the time because it fits, you know, in a carry-on or in my backpack or in a purse is really meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the trade-off because, you know, oftentimes small means slow. Slow devices, you know, invoke a very particular type of madness. So how slow are we talking?
It's so slow, Tanya. It's so slow. So the easiest way I can describe it is, you know that feeling where you click something or you tap on something and then nothing happens long enough that you start to think, did I actually click on, like, did it work?
Oh my God. I've been there.
You know that
not
feeling?
In a
it's
while.
The worst feeling.
Yeah.
And this gives you that all the time. I mean, it was to the point where I tested this for a while and then started to think that my internet connection was the problem because pages were taking so long to load and apps wouldn't open for a while. So I opened up something next to it and would launch the same thing at the same time on both machines on the same Wi-Fi network. And the Surface Go was meaningfully slower every single time. And it's all these things that it's sort of hard to describe because it's not like it's broken and it's not like things take hours. It's just that it's these sort of death by a thousand cuts moments where everything is kind of one or two beats longer than it feels like it needs to be. And it just slowly sort of over time starts to drive you crazy. And my thing is, even if you can deal with that, even if you are a more patient person than I and don't mind a little slowness, you just shouldn't have to.
There's no need.
Intel's chips are not expensive. These things are not hard to make run well. So I think we're beyond the point where I'm willing to forgive any device at any price for not running quickly.
And, you know, the chatter about this initially were all the comparisons to the iPad Pro. So let's talk about that. How do the two stack up so we can get, you know, a decent reference point?
Yeah, it's tricky. They're actually more different than I would have thought going in. So the Surface has a handful of really sort of distinct advantages over the iPad. Its keyboard attachment, the type cover is what Microsoft calls it, is terrific. It's a little small just because the device is a little small, but it is way better than anything you can get.
And those things
iPad.
Are important. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's really the difference between a tablet and a laptop is a keyboard at this point. And so having a good keyboard goes a really long way. And the Surface Go has... It has a kickstand. It's just all these sort of little things that
cool.
When you want to set it up like a laptop, that's the stuff that you want. But what the iPad has going for it is it's much simpler to figure out because it doesn't run full Windows. It's designed for a device this size and with this kind of processor, and it has this huge app store. It's not as good for work because it doesn't have the same sort of multi-window multitasking stuff, but because it doesn't have that, it's able to run faster and more simply because it's just a much more straightforward tablet device. And where the Surface really tries to be all things to all people and especially be a work computer, it made me realize how much the iPad Pro is not a work computer. You can do work-like things on it, sort of, but it is a giant transition from whatever laptop or desktop people currently use to try and pick up an iPad and use it for that way. And that's one of the things that's compelling about the Surface is that it's a little slower and a little smaller, but it will work the same way all your Windows computers do. Whereas the iPad is really incredible for this whole set of, you know, reading and movies and creative tools and things like that. But it is very much not a work machine.
David Pierce, thank you so much. I encourage listeners to check out David's official review and the video at wsj.com/tech. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.